This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 107 of BookCareers.com Live. And this is being recorded on a very snowy day in January. At least there was snow here at 10 a.m. this morning and it has swiftly disappeared. Today I want to talk to you about the last in our trilogy of current trends in interviews. This information is copyright material extracted from How to Job Search in Book Publishing to be published later in the year. We're still in lockdown in the UK, so all job interviews are taking place online, and yes, recruitment decisions are being made via online-only interviews. For one or two of the big publishers, the very first interview will be a pre-recorded platform, and episode 63 covered the best way to approach such interviews. For the real-life Zoom interviews, hopefully now, even if you hadn't had an interview using Zoom, you've been chatting online in other capacities, so by now you are more comfortable and familiar with what would be an online interview. Because to succeed at a Zoom interview, you perhaps need to work a little harder than at a face-to-face interview. This is because 80% of communication is non-verbal. It's about body language and the tone and speed of your voice, and over Zoom, sometimes this can be lost. It means you need to be clearer in some of what you say and make your actions, if you're using any, perhaps a little more animated. So here are 5 tips to help you succeed in current times. Number 1. Now, Zoom interviews are brilliant because unless you repeatedly look downwards or keep waving notes, no one can tell if you have any notes around your computer screen. So have lots of post-it notes with keywords, phrases, or reminders of what you want to say during the interview. I also recommend that you have a post-it note with a smiley face and the word smile nearest the camera, so every time you see it, you remember to smile. As well as looking friendly and like you're enjoying the interview, it will also help you relax. For the kind of keywords you might put on your other post-it notes, they could relate to skills you want to emphasise that were mentioned in the job advertisement, or a book you want to mention, or a project you've worked on, or a customer you've sold to. Have all of these clearly in your eye line so it isn't obvious that you are reading. Number 2 is to look and interact with the interviewer. Eye contact is sometimes very difficult on Zoom as you're focused at the camera and not at the interviewer, but aim to make eye contact where you can. If you are someone who generally finds eye contact difficult, then focus on the interviewer's ear. You need to watch the interviewer carefully as though you're not face to face, you should still be able to detect when it appears you're giving too long an answer or rambling and they want to speak. Usually, in an online video, someone may indicate they want to speak by slightly leaning forward into the conversation. This is a very natural movement. It's something that we all do subliminally when we want to engage in a conversation. We slightly lean forward. So you could use it by leaning forward into the conversation and watch when the interviewer subliminally does this too. Number 3, don't talk over the interviewer or interrupt them. Let them finish speaking in full. One of the most difficult actions to get right in a video call is to let everyone have their say, especially if there is a millisecond of a time lag. So always, always, always wait for the interviewer to finish speaking. Number four is to have a pen and paper right by your computer or phone so that you can jot down notes as you need to. This might be for when you don't want to interrupt the interviewer but do want to remember to say something when they're finished. Don't be shy about this or necessarily try to hide that you're doing this. If you were in a business meeting and you didn't want to interrupt the speaker, you'd make a note to come back at a point they'd raised, particularly if the conversation was going off tangent. So pen and paper is a must. Number five of the current trends, and this is probably the biggest part of online recruitment, is interview tests. There are a wide variety of tests and assessments given at interviews, even more so now the interviewing is online. And I know even when I mention the word test, you might cower and worry. But let's be honest about this. The skill involved in any interview test will, in all fairness, directly relate to the skills you will be using if you were successful in the role. So if you don't have the skills for the job, it is likely you might not do well on the interview test. But if you do have the skills for the job, because that's why you applied, then the chances are that whilst you might find the testing stressful, you should find the activity of completing the test and the skills used within it quite straightforward. And here are some examples of some current tests. Organisational tests, deciding in which order you might respond to a set number of tasks. This is to check that you understand how to prioritise your work. Writing emails. This is a really common test for entry-level roles. The interviewer gives you a topic and the information and asks you to draft an email response or a series of emails to a number of different people. Software capabilities. Whether it's an Excel test, a PowerPoint test, creating or editing a document in InDesign or any other software, all of these tests are to check that you do have the software skill that may be critical for the role. An editorial test, where you're given a paragraph or a few pages of text which you're required to proofread, copy edit, or give a developmental edit to. A marketing or publicity test, where you're asked to draft a marketing or publicity campaign, which you then have to present either to a sole interviewer or to a panel. A sales or rights test, where you're required to predict sales of a particular title, the market which you might sell it in, or any sales, commission, discounts, or royalty calculations or forecasts. A contracts test, which shows that you can locate key information on a publisher contract or can spot mistakes within the contract. Now, these are all a rough rundown of the current tests in use, and as you can probably tell, all of them reaffirm that if you don't have the skills required for the job, you will probably fall down at test stage. And with so much reliance on online interviewing, you can understand why selection tests are key. The bonus current trend is to always thank the interviewer via email after the interview. Whether it's via a recruitment consultant or the publisher direct, always send a thank you email, reaffirm your interest in the role, and if there was something else mentioned during the interview that you now wanted to pick up on, now is the time to mention it. This episode is copyright material which has been extracted from How to Job Search in Book Publishing, which will contain far more information on interview tests. I'm in the final stages of writing and have penciled in another 2 weeks to really get the book ready for editing. My revised deadline is now the 28th of February, and there will be fewer careers clinic appointments during February as a result. In the meantime, if you're stuck, my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com.
Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag bookcareers or on Twitter @bookcareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.